Well, do you remember the first time that you ventured your way over the river and through the woods to see Crater Lake? You know, as a kid, I'd seen pictures of it, but I don't remember being that super excited when the folks said, we're going to go to Oregon and go see Crater Lake. And well, anyway, we traveled around, went to different places, and finally we arrived at the ranger booth. We paid our fee. It was probably like $3 at the time. And we went to the visitor center, and then we drove our way up to the crater rim. We parked, and there was tons and tons of people, because, of course, it was the middle of summer. And we approached this short rock wall. You guys have all been there. And suddenly, it appeared. It was the most amazing, radiant, eye-popping blue you can ever dream of. The sight was incredible. I'm imagining you're thinking back to that take-your-breath moment away where you forget about the hassle, the long drive, all those crowds behind you, and you could hardly take your eyes off of it. You were absolutely glued. It was so breathtaking, and it's the kind of thing that makes you want to start singing How Great Thou Art. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds your hands have made. And you go, wow, God, you did a good work right here. Well, you may have seen that in some other places, maybe at the Grand Canyon, the first time you saw Mount Rainier or Mount McKinley or Denali. But you know, nothing can touch what those shepherds must have seen when the glories of heaven came down and kissed the earth. And think of it, God's heavenly light. I mean, I've seen some incredible sights, the stars, the planets, but I've never actually seen God's light booming through the sky. And these angels, they call everyone to praise the one who made it happen. Their song, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace with whom he is pleased. You know, that's what they proclaimed the day that the Savior was born. What a contrast. There is rejoicing in heaven and yet seemingly just a simple birth of a young lady. And yet, of course, that child was not just an ordinary child, but the Messiah had been born. This part of the world at the time was ruled by Caesar Augustus, and he decided he needed some more money for something, a new palace, a new Colosseum, more armies, whatever the case may be. And so the Lord used it to get Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus from Nazareth, 70, 90 miles away, however far it was, all the way down to Bethlehem. You know, think about this. They didn't have a choice to go back home. Usually we like to go back home. Hey, I'm going back to the hometown, see what's going on. In my case, we visit our parents. But in this case, they had no choice. They had to do what Caesar said. And they were probably not real happy because it was at their own expense they had to travel. And then once they get there, they have to pay even more money. You know, that just wasn't good news. You know, every quarter, I have to send my estimated taxes to the IRS in San Francisco. That's not really a very fun check to sign. And I mean, what if they made me walk there to pay it? That would be a drag. That would be a long haul. You know, and I would really be upset. Well, what if since 1982, North Tajikistan's army had taken over our country and I had to write my check to King Alfalfa Afonso Alfredo Sauce? That would really get my goat. You know, there's hassle, there's inconvenience. You know, I don't like the great Alibaba and his 40 thieves, and yet I have to give them homage. Well, this is what's going on with the Jews. They're just not happy about the situation. But guess what? God is at work, because in Micah, he'd prophesied the baby'd be born in Bethlehem, and so somehow he's going to get it from here to there, just like he'd said. Well, you know, they probably weren't exactly thrilled at the minute, but God would still do good things. And you may be going through some challenges this Christmas. You may be going through some headaches and hassles and some fear and struggle, but I'm really hoping that in the midst of it all, the Lord will break in and give you hope and peace as well. Because God, his specialty is he breaks into the ordinary with his extraordinary. And when God breaks into our lives, it can be scary a little bit, like for the angels, for Zechariah, for Mary, even for Joseph. And yet in the end, it will lead to praising him. It's interesting in Luke chapter 2, where we'll be in verses 1 to 20, the manger is mentioned 3 different times, and it's given as a sign. It's like, when you see this, you'll know that what I said was true. So as we read, follow along with me on the screen here in your Bible from Luke chapter 2. It's going to be so interesting that person after person, spiritual being after spiritual being, they get into the act of praise. We read, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judah, because he was the house of, and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no place for them at the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from then into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Don't you love it? They knew the Lord had made known to them, and so off they went. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been born them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told them. Wow, 9 or 10 months earlier, depending on how you're counting, this angel had appeared to Mary and set this amazing plan in motion, a plan to send a Savior. The Jews had been waiting more than 400 years to actually hear from God again. And then he appears to a priest. There's a dream for Joseph, and now he's appearing to these shepherds. Well, we don't know for sure how far along Mary was in her pregnancy. You get the idea from all the movies that she's in labor if she's bouncing on the donkey, and if she wasn't, that got it started probably. Probably she'd been there for a little while, but just think about baby bouncing on your bladder for 70 miles. That doesn't sound fun, but they made it. And it's interesting because initially the things are kind of quiet, but suddenly the word is about to go public. And it's going to be more public than if you ever get on the Trail Shady Cove Facebook page. Oh my goodness, put one little thing there and it goes everywhere. So it's a great way to put good news out. Not a great place to put bad news because it'll travel. But it's so amazing because this news is to a small hometown girl, not to the public officials, not to the powerful, but eventually it will be revealed. And we know there's shepherds out in their field. They're keeping watch over their sheep at night, and they are filled with fear. I love the fact that God appears to not just the powerful and the moneyed and the privileged, but he appears to all classes of people. And just like at Trail Creek, we love all ages and all stages of people. Shepherds were really lowly in their occupation. No one grew up and said, "I want to be a shepherd." But they have their breath taken away. But an angel tells them, "Fear not." Because it's one thing to see an angel, but we see that God was good to them. He didn't totally freak them out by sending the whole choir at first. No, he first kind of gives them a little warm-up. And he says, "I've got good news for you." And what they were about to see was going to blow their mind much more than when you first saw Crater Lake. And he gives them this message that unto you is born this day a Savior. Wow, they had been waiting so long. Maybe you've been waiting. There's a Savior that was born. And he was born 2,000 years ago, but he's still ready and waiting. And everyone who calls on him will be saved. I love the fact these angels brought good news. And it wasn't just for the shepherds, it was for everyone. You know, the shepherds knew the bad news was they had sin in their lives. They knew that they were raising sheep, many of whom eventually would make their way to be sacrificed at the temple. They understood that all had fallen short of God's glory. And here, now, they didn't know it at the time, but the Lamb of God would be coming. Back in the ancient world, the Savior would save from disease and war and danger, some other human predicament in the world. But our Savior was coming to deal with our sin problem. Hence his name, Jesus, the Lord saves. And Joseph was told he'll save his people from their sin. The shepherds knew that bulls and goats and sheep blood was only a temporary covering of their sin. But Jesus would pay the final sacrifice, and what he did would cover everyone's sin for all the rest of eternity. I love the fact they say the Savior is Christ the Lord. That was worth praising. He was the Messiah, God's anointed, God's special one. That was worth praising God over. And he was spoken of as the Lord, the divine one, the one in charge of everything. That was worth praising God for as well. And suddenly, of course, all the angels appear and they sing glory to God in the highest. That's really what it's about. It's about honoring God. It's about declaring that he is worthy of everything. The Westminster Confession, in some churches, they repeat it every week, kind of a thing. What's the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. But I love the fact that these shepherds, they probably were scared to death. I would have been. Angels are pretty impressive. Whenever people see them, they are frightened, and they should be. But these angels had spent most of their time before the throne of God, and they would see what God was doing. Presumably, they'd hear what God was up to, and it must have been incredible. There's a few chapters in the Bible that give us an idea of what it's like around the throne. There's lots of debate about who the elders are and who the different people are, but I think it's safe to say the angels are present there and they see what's going on, whether or not they're the ones partaking of the action. But if you look back in Isaiah 6, we have the heavenly host praising God. And Isaiah wrote, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him stood the seraphim, each had six wings, with two covering his face and two his feet. And with two he flew, and he called to one another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah, who's having this vision in the year that King Uzziah died, is like, oh my goodness, I am toast. I'm a man of unclean lips. And one of the angels comes and gives him a coal that cleanses his sin in a sense. But these are massive, incredible, intricate creatures. In Revelation 4, if we skip there, we hear about a throne in heaven, and there's one seated on the throne, that's God. And he has the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And there's a rainbow around the throne. And around the throne are 24 thrones and 24 elders. And again, there's debate on who the elders are, but they're clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne is coming flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire. You know, I read that, and that is so different than when you read stories, oh, I died and went to heaven and I saw Jesus sitting on the throne. That's never what they talk about. But anyway, and before it's a throne, a sea of glass like crystal, and around the throne and every side of the throne are four living creatures full of eyes in front, behind, and before. They're each of them continually praise God, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever they give honor and glory to the one who is seated on the throne, who lives forever, the 24 elders fall down before him, who's seated on the throne. And they worship him who lives forever. That's God. And they cast their thrones before him and they say, Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were existed and they were created. That's amazing, these pictures we are given. Revelation 5 just goes on and on. And again, there's all these things falling down and the martyrs are crying out. But the voices that are singing is, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And the four creatures fall again and say, Amen. And it's so amazing. The angels go from heaven of this amazing, incredible worship of God. They have a window that we would only dream of, which we'll get to see someday. And then they're on the earth with these shepherds of no less. They knew what God was up to. They knew when Gabriel had been sent, they knew that he was sending their Savior. And so they shout glory to God in the highest. My kids sometimes like singing a song, and especially when they're with their friend Lillian in the car. It's called The Song That Never Ends. It just goes on and on, my friends. The people started singing not knowing what it was, and they continued singing all just because it was a song that never ends. But let me tell you, after about 10 times, it gets really old, especially when they're in the back seat and you're trying to concentrate driving. And those little high-pitched voices are going on, and they won't quit. And we were taking a walk at Thanksgiving down this path. Callie was ahead of us about 50 yards, and we'd call her back to us and ask her a question, and then she'd take off again. Well, we thought, what's going on? Is she upset? Is she busy thinking? No, she was singing that. She wanted to sing that song 100 times. But the angels are singing and singing and singing around the throne of heaven forever, and they don't get bored. I remember once Kyle asked me, is heaven going to be like a hymn sing? You know, 45 minutes about killed him off. We always had a good time. I said, no, it's going to be better than that. So, but you know, we don't know what the singing in heaven will be like, but somehow it is going to be glorious, and we're going to enjoy it, and we're going to join in, and forever we'll sing God's praises because he sent us a Savior, because we can be there, because our sin is no more, because we see him face to face, and everything's going to be just right. But in the meantime, we live here, and so do the shepherds. And I love the fact that when the angel went away from them in heaven, they said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. They believed. It's like, wow, the angel said it. It must have happened. And so they go there. And what do they find? They find the sign they're looking for, the baby in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. God gave them a sign. They went and they found it just like they were told. They acted on the instructions they were given. Zechariah, he blew it at first, but then he followed God's instructions. Mary followed God's instructions. Joseph did, and so did these shepherds. And they didn't keep quiet about what they'd seen. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them. We were told we'd find a Savior. We did. You got to hear about it. Meanwhile, Mary is treasuring all these things in her heart. But the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen as it had been told them. I love the fact God keeps his promises. He got Mary and Joseph and Jesus down to Bethlehem. He worked it out so the baby was born of a virgin. He worked it out. It was at the right time during the Roman Empire where the communication and technology and roads were in place and there was peace in general. And he works it out for these guys. And I love the fact that they don't seem to go straight back home to the sheep, but they go and they talk to people. They let them know, this angel's told us, guess what God has done? Guess what we saw just as we had been told. And all through the Christmas story, people are praising. If you look in Luke chapter 1, after Mary is connected with her cousin Elizabeth, what she do for the next 9 verses, she's praising the Lord. As soon as Zechariah's lips are open, he says his name's John, he sings a song of praise. Joseph must have said, wow, good, it came to pass. He was praising the Lord. The angels are singing glory to God, and now these shepherds do as well. Amazing, when the news of Christmas comes, that's everyone's response. Way to go, God, you did it again. This is great. You know, and we as the people of God, we have reason to sing. Life on planet Earth is hard, but God is good. We got a sin problem, but God sent a Savior. We look around and we go, ay, 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 ay. But the one who came as a baby will come as a king. There's a reason to praise that first Christmas. There's a reason to praise this Christmas. No matter what's going on, I know many of you are facing difficult circumstances with health, relationships, finances, jobs, you name it. And yet the Savior has come, and that's good news. I love the fact the angels praised outside of Bethlehem, the shepherds praised in Bethlehem, and on their way out, and it was news worth sharing. Unto us, a child is born, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What's the call of Christmas? It's to praise him from whom all blessings flow. So as we stand, as we're going to sing great doxology. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for all you've done. We thank you that you promised a Savior, you sent a Savior. We thank you that Savior did what you needed done, and that is saving of us. And we thank you, Lord, that that's still your mission. You offer salvation to everyone who calls on you, who says, I need help, and you're it. And I thank you, Lord, that you do give us what we need. And thank you that God is with us. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. We want to praise you, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.